This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Buena festa to you as well, and happy Ottobrata.
Oh, you are so good. Absolutely. We are enjoying a wonderful Ottobrata here, John. And you remember that that is our special name for October, because it's during this time when we tend to enjoy kind of a revival of summertime. In fact, it's going to be 81 degrees here today. And in fact, the idea of Ottobrata Romane, it's the tradition. They say, some historians say it goes back as far as ancient Roman times. And this is during the time when Romans would traditionally make these little day trips to the Roman countryside, but particularly to vineyards. And that is because this is the time that coincides with the traditional vendemmia, or the grape harvest for wine. And so Romans, imagine, John, they would hop on their little horse-drawn carts and head out to these vineyards outside the city walls. And by the way, outside the city walls means going as far as, let's see, if I went by car from where I am now, which is right next to St. Peter's Basilica, it would take me about 25 minutes by car to get to a place like Porta Pia, which is where their destination would be to spend the day doing all kinds of outdoor activities with music and song and dance and games that went late into the night. Of course, they would feast. They'd eat gnocchi and abbacchio, which is lamb and tripe, and top it all off with lots of delicious new wine. So, indeed, this idea of Ottobrata continues here as we enjoy beautiful weather and lots of sunshine, John.
It sounds like this month will be a really wonderful celebration, as is the custom there in Roma.
Yes, indeed. This time of harvest is a very special time, especially because here in Lazio, there, which is the state that Rome is located in, there is a very large agricultural community, and about 40% of the agricultural lands are reserved for wine production. So this is a very important time of year around here.
And turning to the Holy Father this morning, Pope Francis opened up the Mass for the Synod with a special Mass. What is the latest on that?
Yes, that's right. This was the solemn Mass to open the 16th Ordinary General Assembly of the Synod of Bishops. And today at the Mass, Cardinal Giovanni Battista Re was the main celebrant. There were also 500 priests, bishops, and cardinals who concelebrated. And that number of 500 also included the 20 newest cardinals of the Catholic Church who were just elevated during the consistory a few days ago. And Pope Francis today underlined what he called the primary task of the Synod. He spoke about this in his homily and said it's to refocus our gaze on God, to be a church that looks mercifully at humanity. And he spoke about, in also in his homily, his desire for a church that's united and fraternal, that listens, that dialogues, that blesses, and that encourages, and who seeks the Lord. So he said that it's very important to always keep God at the center of all of this, so that one is not divided internally. And in fact, in the prayers of the faithful today, John, it included a prayer asking the Lord especially to grant those participating in the work of the Synod to have hearts that are open to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Pope also said, quote, "We don't want to make ourselves attractive in the eyes of the world, but to reach out to it with the consolation of the gospel, to bear witness to God's infinite love in a better way and to everyone." He also quoted Pope Benedict XVI and said that the fundamental question facing the Synod is, how can we communicate the reality that God has spoken to the people of today so that it becomes salvation? So that idea of becoming salvation is referring to Pope Benedict XVI. And then finally, he encouraged everyone today to follow in the footsteps of St. Francis, of course, whose feast day it is today. And he recalled Jesus' call to St. Francis to go and repair my church. And he said that the Synod is a reminder of this. He said that our Mother Church is always in need of purification. And so he invited the faithful to take up what he called only the weapons of the gospel, humility, unity, prayer, and charity, John.
And Ashley, with this beautiful weather there, 80 degrees plus in Rome, the Mass was held in St. Peter's Square instead of inside the actual Basilica.
It was right there in St. Peter's Square, and the sun was shining beautifully. There was a very soft breeze this morning. Although our days are still warm, our evenings and early mornings are cool. So it was really quite perfect day for an outdoor Mass, John.
And as you mentioned today, we are celebrating the memorial of St. Francis of Assisi. I imagine in Italy in particular, and especially in Assisi, it's really being celebrated in a special way.
Yes, in fact, it sure is. In Assisi, there's all kinds of special masses and celebrations going on. And even here in Rome, not many realize that St. Francis spent some time here in Rome. And so I had the great blessing that on this feast day, I have a wonderful visitor. My mom and our very dear friend, Trish Marriott, arrived from the United States today. And so to celebrate this feast of St. Francis, we will be going this evening to attend a Mass at the Church of St. Francis Aripa, which is located in Trastevere. And this actually marks the spot where St. Francis lived while he was spending time in Rome itself. So we look forward to being there today, to walking in his footsteps and remembering this great saint.
Now, I can imagine the festivities in Assisi itself. Have you had a chance to ever be there on the feast of St. Francis?
You know, I've never been there on his feast day itself, but there's all kinds of wonderful, there's processions, there's multiple masses and novenas leading up to this big day. And what a blessing, too, that they are all enjoying gorgeous weather in which to celebrate this special day.
Well, Ashley, meanwhile, in Naples, they're redrafting their evacuation plans in case of another volcanic eruption. What is happening there with that?
Yes, John. Well, so in the last few weeks, there have been hundreds of small tremors in the volcanic area west of the city of Naples. And because of it, it has caused government to quickly work on redrafting what they're calling mass evacuation plans, even though they say they don't see an imminent risk of eruption. So to give you a little background, in the latest string of tremors here, a 4.0 magnitude earthquake hit what's called the Campo Flegre, the Flegrean field, we'd say English, just the day before yesterday. So on Monday that happened. And that region is home to what's called a caldera. So this is a cauldron-shaped depression that was left behind by the eruption of a very large volcano. And this particular caldera is the largest one in Europe. Now, it erupted back in 1538. And they're saying that a new eruption would put about 500,000 locals at risk there. So Monday's tremor that I mentioned followed another one last week. That was a 4.2 magnitude quake. And that was the strongest in the area that has been recorded in the last 40 years. So what they're noting is that the seismic activity has been intensifying for months. In fact, there's been over 3,000 tremors since the start of 2023. But with those, only 65 have been above a 2.0 magnitude. So most of those would never have been felt by folks living in that area. What they're talking about is, of course, the need to make sure that there's a way to get the people of the area out fast. Now, the first thing they want everyone to know is that these tremors are not new. This phenomenon has been going on for thousands of years, and it's just a cyclical process of the rising and falling in the ground level. And it's being observed and it's being measured, but it's only been for about the past 100 years that it's been measured. So that's why people are so much more acutely aware of it all of a sudden. And to give you some perspective, Naples is surrounded by volcanoes on both sides. The Capo Flegre is to the west and Mount Vesuvius is to the east. And of course, we all remember Mount Vesuvius because it destroyed the cities of Pompeii and Herculaneum back in 79 AD. So all of this said, they're working on this plan to try to evacuate about 3 million people from that area, estimating it'll cost about 30 billion euro to do it. That includes the economic repercussions of closing down the economy of those cities as well. So it's something that is always there in the subconscious of the people of that area. So in the meantime, we continue to ask St. Gennaro, St. Januarius, the patron of Naples in that area, to especially bless and keep those good people in that area, John.
Ashley, do you get the sense that these 3 million people are actually taking it seriously since, you know, it hasn't actually happened? It's just, you know, all this speculation. You know, I'm talking about a major, obviously, the 4.2 magnitude recently, but I mean, a really big one.
Right. You know, it's so interesting because when you speak to the people of Naples, Mount Vesuvius hangs over them. They see it. They, you know, every now and then it'll remind everyone that it's there with an eruption of fumes. And so it's something that is always there, and yet they're very resilient people and they know that life must go on. So it's really quite an interesting thing. They also spoke about, as they're drafting this evacuation plan, the reality of some people who are going to say, no, I won't go. I don't want to go. I want to stay in my home. And so that also can happen too. So we'll see. What they end up coming up with, the officials coming up with, and how the whole process might even go. It's really would be quite an incredible feat to put that together, 3 million people.
Meanwhile, tomorrow, October 5th, is the feast of Blessed Bartolo Longo, as well as the feast of Saint Faustina. And that's a relatively new feast that Pope Francis put into play just a couple of years ago.
Well, yes. And right here in Rome, Romans are getting very, very excited to celebrate that feast day tomorrow because the novena leading up to this has been happening at the Church of Santo Spirito in Sassia. That Santo Spirito means Holy Spirit. This is actually the Divine Mercy Shrine of Rome. And it was the Holy Father, Pope St. John Paul II, who appointed it as such back in January of 1994. And inside is a relic of the heart of St. Faustina. And so people are making their way to go and have visits to that church in these days. And tomorrow, what they'll do is they will have... They will actually have docents at the door trying to help people stream in and out because so many people come and, of course, want the opportunity to spend time in prayer right there at the relic at the heart of St. Faustina. And then in the meantime, John, you also mentioned Blessed Bartolo Longo. He is entombed in Pompeii. And he is the founder of the Shrine of Our Lady of Pompeii, which incidentally is the most visited Marian shrine in all of Italy. It's absolutely gorgeous place. And he is just so admirable. You know, he was born to a very devout Catholic family, but after his mom died when he was about 10, he really started to lose his way from the faith. And when he went off to college, he had a professor who was a fallen away priest. And in this philosophy class started introducing some strange ideas to young Bartolo, who began to really question his faith. He was seeking answers, and somebody said, I know where you can find them, and brought him to a seance. And it was from there that he decided to become a priest, but not the kind of priest that we're thinking of. He became a priest of the kingdom of Satan. And he was apparently a very effective orator as well. As his life began to fall apart, which is, of course, what happens when one becomes entangled with the father of lies, he ran into an old professor friend who decided to take Bartolo under his wing and to try to help him, and finally convinced him to speak to a Dominican. And through a fantastic gift of grace, Bartolo not only spent time with this Dominican priest, but in fact, even prayed the Holy Rosary with him and went to confession with him. And from then, his life began to change. Although the story goes that he attended a baptism, and during that, when the line of scripture was read, that you are a priest forever, according to the line of Melchizedek, he was contemplating that line later, and it was very depressing to him because he said, wait a minute, if that's true, then the converse must also be true. That must mean that I am a satanic priest forever, and my soul cannot be saved. But at that same moment, John, that he was saying those words, he heard the words of a Dominican priest in his ears, reminding him of the words of Our Lady to Saint Dominic, that anyone who propagates the rosary shall be saved. And it was from that moment that he decided that that's exactly what he would do. He fell to his knees and he promised Our Lady that he would spend his life propagating her holy rosary. So right there in Pompeii, he tried to rally people to come and pray the rosary with him. And the first night, two people came. And the next night, one person came. And then maybe six people came. And he just couldn't get people interested. And so then he had the idea, you know what? They need an image. They need a beautiful image to rally around. And he heard that a nearby convent had an image. So he went, he saw the image of Our Lady giving St. Dominic the rosary with St. Catherine of Siena there on the other side. But it was moth-eaten. It had been sitting in the attic. The figures were distorted, but he said, I'll take it. He didn't have any way to bring it back to town, so he set it on top of a manure cart, and it was brought into the city of Pompeii. And from there, it's when he started to see enthusiasm growing, and people began to come to pray the rosary. Eventually, the beautiful shrine of Our Lady of Pompeii of the Rosary was built. And tomorrow, to celebrate the feast, I'll be going with my mom and our friend Trish down to Pompeii to have the opportunity to have Mass there and to pray in front of his remains. So this is a place where I will take all the special intentions of our Relevant Radio family down with us, John, for this really special occasion, procession and fireworks display.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.